Welcome to Beaver Lodge Alliance's sermon podcast. We're so glad to join you. This is the latest sermon. We pray that you would receive encouragement, exhortation, and that Jesus would speak to you through this sermon. Enjoy.
Well, it's good to see all of you people who are hardy enough to come out in all this deep snow. Am I being heard okay?
No.
No. Okay. Yeah, all right, thank you. Yes, it is surprising to see such deep snow. It's been several years since we've seen that, but we're blessed and glad that God is just opening up the skies. And we can be thankful for that, even though it means a lot of shoveling and maybe discomfort and wondering how we're going to cope with things. So, a new year, walking into the unknown. Well, I'm Esther Johnstone, and I'm on the board here, and it's my privilege to speak to you this morning. Those who have attended here know that I often speak on the last Sunday of December, or the first Sunday of January. I've done it for several years now. And I'm tempted to just dig out a former message because God blessed in the past, but this is not the same message that I've given in the past, although one part of it is the same. So 2026. Wow, what a ring that brings into our hearts and lives as we have the year before us. It might conjure up uncertainty. Man, we've got such crazy things on the news south of the border, and how does that affect us, and how will it affect us? And we might see uncertainty in our own future, our government, our church, even our private lives. It might be full of hope for better days, for better crops, for employment, for closer family ties, for a closer walk with Jesus, whatever it is, as you look over 2026. We don't know, but it spreads before us almost 365 days. At this time of year, I always think of the poem made famous by King George the sixth in his 1939 Christmas broadcast to the British Empire. And no, I wasn't born yet when that was given. The poem speaks to readers, or listeners in this case, in all of life's difficult and dangerous situations. And just as an aside, if you've seen the movie The King's Speech, I think it was called, that was King George the sixth. But this poem actually bears repeating. It reads as follows. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night, and he led me toward the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east. This poem is actually displayed on a plaque in Windsor Castle, although I've never been there, but I'm quite sure it is there. And it was actually quoted, I believe, in the Queen Elizabeth's funeral time. Well, I think that we in 2026 need to find God's hand to be led into this future year with assurance that God will, in fact, guide us. So on that theme, I want to turn to Psalm 121. And this is a great psalm, and this message might seem awfully simple, but sometimes the simplest message sticks with us, and we can bring it up in our minds and hearts and lives as needed. So, the secure and dependable one, the one who can keep us in his care, Isn't that the assurance we need for 2026? Psalm 121 teaches us three big truths about the journey that we can claim for this year. God's power. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2 says this, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." God's power. We don't have mountains really close, although we do see them occasionally from a distance, but it encourages us to get our eyes off our problems. And one of the songs that was sung this morning was "Take Your Eyes Off the Water," and that was a reference to Peter when he was trying to walk on the water and he looked down. We need to look up. And so the question is, where does my help come from? Where do you go when you need help? There, and I looked out, and there's the plane. And they said, "No, sorry, but the door is closed. You cannot get on it. Come tomorrow," like 24 hours later, "and get on it." I thought, why couldn't it be held for me? Like, but no way. So bless my daughter Hillary. She drove the 3 hours to come and get me and take me to Medicine Hat. So things get disrupted. And I was stranded, but I also knew God was with me. Now, that doesn't mean I was happy. So this one who made the heavens and the earth is on our side, and we can tell him what we need to tell him. God's got this, because God controls the universe. Chance is ruled out. Fate is ruled out. There's a song from the past, which only a few of you people would know, but it's a song called "How Big Is God?" And the refrain goes like this, and I wish I could sing it for you, but I can't. But "How big is God? How big and wide the vast domain? To try to tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule his mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart." That is a mystery, but a wonderful mystery. Well, the second thing in this psalm is, number two, God's protection. So Psalm 121, 3 through 6 talks about watching over us. God's our bodyguard. Isn't that kind of cool? I mean, you see movies and stuff where these men and women, I guess women, I don't know, but they walk around and they have bodyguards to protect them. Nobody's going to touch that person. So 121 verses 3 through 6 says, "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night." So we won't get sunstroke, and we won't get moonstruck. So God watches over us. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24 talks about, "The Lord makes firm. Though he may stumble, he won't fall." That's us. "He doesn't sleep." Remember the story in 1 Kings 18, 27, in the contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal? And Elijah actually taunted the prophets of Baal and said, "Hey, your God isn't answering you. He must be asleep. He must have gone on a journey. He's not around. He's sleeping." Well, you know, Psalm 91, which many, many people claim as a traveler's psalm, and that is a good psalm to have on hand when you're traveling, because it says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday." And verse 10, "No harm will overtake you, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you." I know it's easy for me to stand here and say no harm will befall me, but what about those who are in the Ukraine right now? Are they thinking of those verses? And have they seen that God has protected them? What about those in Gaza right now, today? What about those people on bad roads? And we probably, if you're on Facebook, saw how many people were in the ditch, parked on the banks of the Highway 43. So is God with us on the bad roads? Is he with us in blizzards? Will he keep us on the road? Is he with us on ice? Bad things do happen. And I can't really give you an answer to why some of these things happen and people meet their death on the highways. I don't know. You might say, well, that person was a believer, but God did not protect them at that point. But he has his sovereign plans, and we can rest in that. Well, mostly rest in that. I don't think we rest in that when our loved one has passed away recently. But God is still with us. And then number three, God's provision. Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8 says, "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." God watches every part of our lives, our coming and our going. God's provision can come from unexpected places. And I have some examples here, and you might say, well, those were so long ago. What about an up-to-date one? Well, I'll try to give you an up-to-date one as well. But and we can refresh our memory of things in the past where God's provision had come our way. It was George Mueller who ran an orphanage in the 1800s in Brussels. He was determined to never ask for money. So he would pray and God would answer. God would provide. He never ever got up. He was a preacher in that area and asked for money. But he was actually, if you go online, you can see this huge buildings where he had orphanages, and God had really called him in that ministry. Well, one morning, there was absolutely no food for the orphans. none. He and the children prayed. And as I saw these children this morning, I thought, maybe we need to pass on some requests for the children to pray, because God has used so many children in the past to work his miracles. Well, he and the children were there, nothing to eat that morning. And so he said, well, let's pray. And so they prayed, and they prayed, and the children prayed, he prayed, and there was a knock on the door. Well, if you know this story, you know that there was a baker at the door, and he said, the Lord awakened me at 2 a.m., and he just prompted me to make bread for you guys. And here it is. So God had provided bread for the orphans. Now, I knew this story, but I don't know if I could cite where I got this second story about George Mueller, but another time they needed milk for their cereal, and so they're sitting there at the breakfast table. They have their porridge, but there's no milk. Well, suddenly there was an accident outside the door of a milk truck. Now, it didn't mean that the milk spilled all over the street. It must have been contained in cartons or jars or whatever. And they came to the door and they said, you know, we can't do anything about this milk right now. We can't take it to where it's supposed to go, but could you use it? And so there was the answer. So again, those were the children praying in that need. Well, another story is from Dr. Helen Rosevear in Africa. And I've read this story more than once. This one came this week on, last week on the internet, on my feed. And here's what it said. Far from pharmacies and hospitals, a woman died in childbirth, leaving behind a grieving 2-year-old daughter and a premature baby in danger of succumbing to the chill of the night. With no incubator, no electricity, and few supplies, the newborn's life was in jeopardy. A helper filled a hot water bottle to maintain the warmth needed for the infant, but suddenly the rubber burst, and it was the last hot water bottle that could be found in the village. A visiting missionary physician from North Ireland, Dr. Helen Rosevear, asked the orphans to pray for the situation. So there's those little kids again. But a faith-filled 10-year-old named Ruth seemed to go too far. She prayed, please God, send us a water bottle, she implored. It'll be no good tomorrow, God. The baby will be dead. So please send it this afternoon. As if that request was not sufficiently audacious, she added, and while you're about it, would you please send a dolly for the 2-year-old so she'll know that you love her? Well, recalled Rosevear, I was put on the spot. Could I honestly say amen? I just did not believe God could do this. Oh, yes, I know that he can do everything. The Bible says so, but there are limits, aren't there? The only hope of getting a water bottle would be from a parcel from the homeland, but she had never received one during the almost 4 years that she'd lived there. Anyway, she mused, if anyone did send a parcel, who would put in a hot water bottle? I live on the equator. A couple of hours later, a car dropped off a 22-pound package. The orphans helped open it and sort through the contents, clothes, bandages for the leprosy patients, and a bit of love, a bit of food, I mean, sorry. Oh, and this, as I put my hand in again, I felt, could it be? I grasped it and pulled it out. Yes, a brand new rubber hot water bottle. Said Rosevear, I cried. I had not asked God to send it. I had not truly believed he would or could. With that, little Ruth stepped up. If God has sent the bottle, he must have sent the dolly too, she exclaimed. She dug through the packaging and found it at the bottom of the package, a beautifully dressed doll. That parcel had been packed 5 months earlier by Rosevere's former Sunday school class. The leader, feeling prompted by God, included the hot water bottle. A girl contributed the doll. And that came over again to remind me. It was on Bible Gateway, December 13th of this past December. I do know that Marie Enns also, some of you know, served in Thailand before she went to Cambodia, and was a similar story that God provided a doll for her daughter, Shelley, who was just a child at that time. So, too, has seen God answer amazing things for her and in this present age. In my own life, I have several incidents. I only give you just a little bit of it. But one December, and it may have even been one of you, I was really very strapped for money. And I, of course, as a mom, you don't spend on yourself if things are needed. And I got a call from there used to be a woman's dress shop here in Beaver Lodge. And I got a call from their front desk. And they said, there's money here to buy you an outfit of some sort for Christmas. So I went down and picked out a skirt and top. And I was just so blessed by it. But it was anonymous, so I couldn't thank the person. And one year I was looking at my shabby winter coat, and I didn't have the money to buy a new coat. And I said, Lord, you know, I need a new coat. And that's all I said. And lo and behold, at church that following Sunday, a woman came up to me, and this may sound a little bad, but she said, my mom has passed away, and she had a beautiful new coat that's hardly worn. I think it would fit you. Do you mind looking at it? So she brought the coat over, and it was a long coat, wool, and oh my, it was such a blessing, and it fit me perfectly. I had lots of comments on it, and of course, a nice wool winter coat keeps you warm. At that time, there were really cold days. Another time, somebody handed me an envelope that had dollars in it that said, this is for replacing the front windows that the vandals had broken that year, so I could replace them. I think a more critical time was when I needed employment. I was unemployed, and that was a startling thing for me, someone who had taught for years, and I never thought I'd be without a job. And there I was without a job. I was at my wit's end. And 1 week before school started, because I was on unemployment insurance, I was required to go out and seek employment. So I went to the county office and asked if there happened to be any job openings. Like, this was 1 week before school was to open. I mean, who would think there would be a job at that time? But I had to ask and record it. Well, the superintendent said, yeah, actually, there is a job, and I think it's perfect for you, for someone like you, and nobody has come forward and wanting it. So we talked together, and he offered me the job on the spot. And he said, well, do you want to go home and think about it and come back tomorrow and sign it? I said, no, I'm signing it right now. I don't want you to change your mind, and I need this employment. Well, that got me back into the system, and those of you who are teachers know that that's critical if you want to collect your pension at the end. And so that was the beginning of God in my life providing in a tremendous way. So tremendous that even now, as a retired person, I have that teacher's pension as well as the other pensions that you get here in Canada. So, as we face a new year, think upon Psalm 121. Where does my help come from? Number one, God's power. Number two, His protection. His provision. Which of these is most pressing in your life? Which of these maybe touch some chord in your heart and you need it this morning? The one, of course, that has touched me more in the past, well, after I was working on this, was God's provision. And I just wanted to share with you a bit about that. Oh, there is one more, too. Yesterday at a funeral, somebody asked me about snow removal in my place. And of course, I could pay somebody to come and remove it or shovel it out or some such thing. Well, I think it was 3 years ago that the town office gave out these plaques or these boards that you could put on your lawn and said, be a snow angel. And it said, if you're going by and you see this older woman shoveling, just stop and help out. Well, because of that, the man around the corner from my place used to come over and he started snow blowing my driveway and even scraped off my steps up to my door in the front. And he did that for a couple years, but about a month ago, he came to me and I was over at the library and he said, you know, I can't do it anymore. I can't hang on to the snowblower. It's just too much. And it happened to be a day that, you know, there was about that much that he was getting rid of. And I thought, oh no, but I guess I can afford to pay somebody to do it. Well, very soon after that, I got a call from the town office. And they said, you know, we're trying to start a program where some of the kids of the town who are on like a hockey team, juniors or something, and they're willing to shovel at your place. Do you want that to happen? Well, do I? And so they came out, this mom and her three boys, and they were out there just shoveling out a storm. And they have come several times, even though I was away. And it's been fantastic, just God's provision. I don't have to pay them, not that that's a biggie, but they're faithfully coming and shoveling off my driveway and up the steps, even though I don't use the front steps, but other people do, coming and going. So I want to encourage you going forward that you can, and I want to just write out Psalm 121 and post it on my wall. That is probably going to be my psalm for the year. I know people pick one word for the year, and maybe you do, and maybe you pick out a verse or one verse or a chapter, just something that a go-to place on God's promises. And may we have eyes of faith, not fear, that we will press on, and as Philippians 3 says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. That's Philippians 3, 12 to 14, which I don't have printed up there. But that we will walk forward with our hand in his, and that will we remember that old song that is jazzy but meaningful. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got you, and he's got me in his hand. So whatever is before it, us, is no match for the one who does hang on to us, hold our hand, take us through. So may God bless your year in a wonderful and amazing way. May we be able to see what he is doing in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Bless you for coming out in this kind of winter day, that it would be all too easy to just say, I'm staying home and I'll look online. But you know, the online service misses out something. I don't know what it is, but it misses out in the impetus, in the zip of it all. So I'm glad to see all of you who came out today. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you'd like more information about us or find out ways to contact us, visit our website at www.beaverlodgeallianceschurch.com. We pray today that you would experience the love, presence, and power of Jesus Christ, and then make him known.